everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Bob Dio. Bob on the other side of the glass today, engineering and producing the Buckmaster Show. Good to see you again, Bob. It's been a while. Last time I saw you and your lovely wife was at the KVOI Christmas party. We had a lovely party at the Hacienda del Sol. Excellent food and hospitality by those folks. To all of our Jewish friends, the last night of Hanukkah is here. I hope it has been a good Hanukkah for all of those celebrating Christmas. We're just a couple of days away, so it is a, to put it mildly, Bob, it's a busy time of year, isn't it? Show today, Wednesday, midweek edition, December 20th, 2017. We come to you from Tucson's Voice, a station that really has great reach. You can hear this radio station all the way over to the New Mexico border, down into Mexico. I've heard it as far as certainly the Phoenix Airport. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Bob. It's a strong signal. And I think during the midday, we get a little bit of, I don't know how all that works with the sun's energy and stuff, but get some kind of a boost anyway to our 10,000 watts. But anyway, 790-2040, we're going to take a deep dive today during the hour into education locally. Dr. Gabriel Trujillo is the superintendent of Tucson Unified. He is with us for the first half hour. And then David Safir, who pretty much writes exclusively about education for the Tucson Weekly. And he will be our guest in the second half hour. There's certainly no shortage of items to discuss on the education scene. Dr. Trujillo, happy holidays to you, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Bill. And happy holidays to you and all of those that are listening. And a special happy Hanukkah to our Jewish community. And a thank you to Mr. Brian Davis. He's the executive director of the Jewish History Museum. Mm-hmm. I had a wonderful tour there yesterday learning about the history of our Jewish community here in Tucson. So happy holiday season to all.
What is that venue? It's downtown, right?
It is downtown, yes. It is it's on Stone, uh-huh, just between 16th and 17th, uh-huh, across from the old Mexican Consulate building.
Wow.
And it's highly recommended to learn about the contributions of Jewish leaders throughout Southern Arizona's history. Very educational, very powerful, also as a Holocaust remembrance.
So you had a good visit.
It was a great visit, absolutely.
So what's the holiday calendar now for TUSD? What are you guys doing?
Well, Tucson Unified Schools will officially be on holiday break after this Friday. So we've got T-minus a day and a half.
Okay. And then back to school when?
It'll be back to school on Monday, January 8th.
Mm-hmm. Who works these calendars out? I mean, you have to have a certain, you're required to have a certain number of in-class days.
Absolutely.
I always kind of wondered how each district in the state does their own. Is that kind of how it works?
Each district does their own school calendar, yeah, obviously subject to each school district's respective governing board, just mm-hmm, like ours. Mm-hmm. We propose our calendars to the governing board, and they approve them in usually three-year increments. Mm-hmm. And you have very tight parameters that you have to meet in terms of specific days per school year, hours per day. And the Arizona Department of Education sets those parameters largely around the Auditor General's office for funding purposes.
Well, the front page story in the Arizona Daily Star deals with this. I think it's critical. A lot of people would agree. The teacher shortage. I mean, you can't put teachers in the classroom fast enough. Unfortunately, a lot of them have decided, this number really jumped out at me, Dr. Trujillo, about 866 teachers have quit just since the beginning of the school year, or they just never showed up. And so all told now, there are 2,000 Arizona teaching jobs unfilled.
That is, I've said this before, and I'll continue to say it, that is the top priority for the Tucson Unified School District, and it's our number one challenge. The absence of highly qualified and highly skilled teachers in classrooms every day gives birth to a wide variety of problems. And at this point in time, the Tucson Unified School District will own about 68 of those vacancies, which is not ideal by any stretch of the imagination. And starting the year with over 120 vacancies is not ideal either. So it is a serious challenge for us.
So you've been able to pick up some fill some of those vacancies since the school year began 4 months ago.
We've been able to fill some of the vacancies, but even when you're filling vacancies, those teachers, and bless them for coming in, those teachers that come in and they start the year 5-6 weeks in, they've got 5 or 6 weeks of extra work building relationships with kids, earning the trust of the kids, making up for lost academic time. So it isn't ideal, but it is better than having a vacant position.
Well, you know, reflecting back to my school days back in the dark ages, if you will, I never was all that keen. I wasn't kind of a teacher's pet, as they used to call it, but I enjoyed having the stability of a teacher who I knew and got to know. And I never was all that keen about when our teacher was ill or off and we had a substitute. It felt like we weren't getting the real deal. You know what I mean?
Times have not changed. And students are very clear about what they want to see in the classroom. A lot of my student focus groups, the number one challenge that they say or the number one complaint that they have are daily subs. And it's not that the subs aren't nice people. Teenagers thrive off of relationships, and they want a highly qualified teacher to bond to look to
right.
lead them
right.
and to mentor them. And that is, if there's one thing, one wish I had, was that every single child in the system had that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you say you have knocked down that vacancy level a bit, down to about 68. And, you know, there was all that talk about the legislature passed making credentialing teachers easier, getting more teachers into the classroom. If someone had expertise in the business world, it was supposedly going to be easier for them to transition into the classroom. That really hasn't worked out all that great, has it?
As we look at some of our sister districts, we, of course, held the line and said, you know, we believe that teaching is a profession, it's an art, and there are things that teachers do that are unique to teaching as a profession. That ability to break down complex topics and ideas into smaller parts for kids, to create interactive learning activities, differentiate levels of rigor and difficulty, building relationships with kids. That is a skill set that is built over time, and an educator needs to be properly trained and equipped. So we haven't really taken advantage of sort of that person coming in out of the private sector and just throwing them into a classroom. But some of our sister districts that I've been in contact with that have tried to do that in selected areas haven't really noted much success other than just basically filling a position. But did the person turn in to be a superstar? No. Did the person turn in to be a game changer for the school? Mm. Not necessarily.
All right. When you were on the program 2 months ago, and we are trying to keep to a schedule here, Dr. Trujillo, and we thank you for it. Having you on the show, my goal is every other month. And when you were here a couple of months ago, you said we were talking about the $4.5 million of red ink, and it really couldn't be carried then forward to the end of the fiscal year. The way it works now, it's got to be dealt with. And you said there is a plan. And in October, you said it would be December. Now, what are you telling us?
Well, we've had some governing board meetings that have been readjusted, rescheduled. We are now firm for the January 16th governing board meeting.
For the rollout.
For the rollout, the presentation to the governing board. And it will be entitled Moving Tucson Unified Forward. And this plan is a strategic plan with both short-term action steps and long-term planning and goals around academic achievement, increasing academic achievement, an aggressive enrollment and recruitment initiative, and addressing some of the student disciplinary and safety concerns that the district has both at the classroom level and at the school level. So the crux of it will be around those three large areas, and then there will be a fourth short-term critical action plan for the recruitment and retention of highly qualified teachers.
But this is quite a blueprint.
It's going to be a blueprint, and we will present it publicly for the community and the board on January 16th.
All right. You heard it here. It's coming January 16th. Let's take the break here, Bob, because I don't really want to get into another subject when I've only got a minute for Dr. Trujillo to address the next subject. 790-2040, if you'd like to join in our conversation. Today's topic on the Buckmaster Show, we are focusing on education. We'll be right back.
This is Paloma Santiago with San Miguel High School. How can you help underprivileged youth in our community? An education at San Miguel is their only opportunity to escape a life destined for failure. Our students take a full college prep class while working meaningful jobs, earning nearly 40% of their school tuition. San Miguel gives hope and opens doors to the future for young men and women. You can learn more at sanmiguelcristorey.org. That's San Miguel, CRISTOREY.org.
The Humane Society of Southern Arizona is currently eighth in the world for the Newman's Own Holiday Challenge. You can help them raise money to support homeless pets and keep them in the top 10 to win additional cash prizes. All the money they raise will go directly toward caring for pets in need right here in our community. Visit hssaz.org/top10 to make your tax-deductible gift and show the world how much Southern Arizona loves pets. That's hssaz.org/top10.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition, as I was listening to our fine sponsors. I'm so proud of these sponsors. I think we've got the greatest lineup of people supporting a radio show in Arizona, and every one of the sponsors, quality people, quality organizations, and I want to say thank you to each of them, not just during the holiday season, but for being with us, making this show possible year-round. Dr. Gabriel Trujillo is the TUSD superintendent. He's heading up Tucson Unified. Has done so now, is it 6 months already? What was your official start? You were interim and then you became the official top guy.
I became official on September 12th.
September 12th. Okay. So the big story, I think, concerning Tucson Unified has been, and there's been a lot of confusion, I think, surrounding this, Dr. Trujillo, and perhaps you can sort of set us straight here. The TUSD Governing Board considered moving Catalina High School students from their school in order to give University High students their own campus. UHS currently shares a campus with Rincon High. Under the plan, Catalina students would have moved to Rincon. What's the bottom line to this?
Well, the bottom line is last Tuesday night, the governing board really took a step back and said, look, we recognize that there are crowded conditions and that there are a litany of problems and challenges when you have two of the district's largest schools sharing a scarce resource, the facilities there at the Rincon University High School campus. But with that being said, this challenge shouldn't be looked at in isolation. We have challenges at all of our high schools, and it's actually a good time to really take a look at a high school improvement initiative all around that would not only direct staff, my team, to take a look at some alternative solutions and courses of action and options to address the UHS Rincon situation, but also a good opportunity to take a look at some improvement efforts at the other eight high schools. Improvement doesn't mean reconfiguration. It doesn't mean that we're going to go in and reconfigure eight schools, right, outside, or 10 schools. It means that this is a good opportunity to take a look at an aggressive expansion of career and technical education programs, CTE. This is a good opportunity to propose some evening school opportunity schedules at some of our high schools so that some of our kids falling behind on credits don't have to leave for a charter. Mm-hmm. This is a great opportunity to take a look at an aggressive expansion of dual enrollment and see how many dual enrollment courses we can grow in some of our other schools. This is a really good opportunity to say, can we do a 7-period school day mm-hmm. at some of our high schools so mm-hmm. kids can get some during-the-day support or access to advanced learning opportunities so we can provide during-the-day embedded professional development for our teachers. So it's really more about a programmatic expansion in a lot of different areas, offering more options at some of our existing high schools so that we can increase academic achievement and make them more attractive places for parents to send their kids.
But I think some of the messaging was that this is an entire reorganization of the high schools within Tucson Unified.
Yeah, and my understanding is it has been messaged that way largely in the press, but this is just a good opportunity to say this is not a total reorg of all of the high schools. It's a high school improvement and reinvigoration initiative where we're going to be going in high school by high school and saying, where can we aggressively expand programs that we know parents love, students love, that are hallmarks of a successful district. You rarely hear anybody say we want less CTE opportunities for kids. Yeah. Nobody says we want fewer dual enrollment courses. Nobody says that, you know, we want fewer electives or fewer music education opportunities in our high school. So we feel really good that we'll be able to put together a fairly comprehensive district-wide high school improvement plan before the board.
When do you think all that might happen? Before the end of the school year?
I think we're looking at a governing board meeting in February. We want to put a timeline on this. Our high schools can't wait. We want, specifically with academic achievement and enrollment, we want this. We want to be able to put some ideas and some programs in play for the 18-19 school year.
Now, Tucson Unified has two early learning centers. These centers, unfortunately, fly under the radar screen for a lot of the residents of this community.
They do, and I think our governing board has to do its due diligence. They've got to look at areas of operation that are not operating in the black, that are losing money. And so you saw a motion to take a look at our infant early learning centers on Tuesday. We did a cost analysis, and we figured out that by raising rates and by taking a couple of measures, some cost-effective measures, that we believe that these centers can be fiscally sustainable, fiscally independent, financially viable. And we want another chance to do the centers right. I think our district leadership team has now recognized, I personally have recognized touring the centers, what a hidden gem they are.
Where are they?
And we haven't done a good enough job of marketing them and using them as a recruiting tool. You have one, BRICTA, mm-hmm. Infant Early Learning Center, services largely the western sector of the city. Mm-hmm. And then you have Shoemaker, which services largely the eastern sector of the city. And these two early infant learning centers take babies as young as 6 weeks.
Hmm.
And they're open all the way to 6:30, 7 o'clock at night, as early as 6 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And they're staffed by teams of wonderful professionals.
So this isn't just like traditional daycare, drop off the six-week-old infant to be babysat. There are structured programs for the children.
There are very structured programs centered around cognitive development, language development, socio-emotional development. You can go into any of our infant early learning centers and you will see kids learning about decision-making through playing blocks, learning about literacy by participating in reading circles and having some of our wonderful staff members read to them, learning about music, learning how to play with each other, learning how to make decisions. So this isn't just unstructured babysitting.
Right,
there is a lot of science and methodology that goes into this. And our centers operate via the early learning standards that our preschoolers are subject to through the state of Arizona.
So what about the price point? How do you set a price point for something like this? And you said maybe the price point needs to go up a little bit to make these things financially sustainable.
We have a responsibility to the taxpayers and to the citizens of the district to make sure that the centers are not losing money. And so what we've done is we've implemented a rate increase our governing board approved that will allow the centers to be financially viable, fiscally sustainable, but will still make us just a little bit cheaper than the daycare across the street. So we've done a cost analysis to make sure that we're still going to be the best game in town. And what's wonderful about the centers is that they allow our employees to leave their kids in the good hands of our learning center staff while they work.
Yeah.
And then they provide an attractive option for families that want to move kids into the district.
All right. I think it sounds like a good deal. In our remaining 2 minutes here, as we are at the end of the year here, and we look, of course, these kinds of news programs, you always like to kind of look ahead. Just from what I've heard you say, a couple of big events coming up. January, I forget the exact date. Was it the 16th, your rollout of the – what was the date?
January 16th.
16th is the rollout of trying to get the financial house in order. And then you mentioned February for looking at the future of University High School. So those seem – am I on target here? Those seem to be kind of the two – big items that will be coming up in 2018 early on.
Absolutely, early on. And and February would be sort of our high school improvement initiative, which would include options and opportunities to address the crowding experienced by both Rincon and University High School.
But overall, if you can get this financial house in order, which you must, I mean, that's what you are charged with doing. You can't push it back to the end of the fiscal year. Overall, what's the morale picture like? You know, we started this interview talking about the teaching shortage. You're at all the schools. I know you visit all the teachers, as many as possible. What is the morale like this holiday of 2017?
The morale is tough. The morale is tough. So to the extent that we can be accessible, transparent, and we can include teachers and employees in the decision-making process, which we will, with regard to cost reductions, I think that's the only way forward. Because when times are tough, our employees really count on its leaders to be accessible and to be visible and to be participatory. And so as we go through this round of cost reductions, which will be largely at the district level, we're sensitive to that, and we want to make sure that we're working with our association leadership and our employee leaders along the way.
All right, Dr. Trujillo, I want to wish you and yours a wonderful holiday season and a very healthy and happy and prosperous 2018. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you. Want to wish you all the best, Bill, and enjoy the holiday season as well.
I sure will. Thank you very much. We'll take our mid-show break here. It's midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Enjoy the most magical time of the year with friends and family at Tohono O'Toole's annual Holiday Nights. Listen to musical performances as you stroll through the gardens decked with over a million twinkling lights. Holiday Nights takes place the first three Fridays and Saturdays in December from 5:30 to 8:30. Shop local this holiday season. Our museum shops are full of local art and unique gifts, including annual memberships to Tohono O'Toole. Tickets and event information are available at tohonootoole.org/holidaynights.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Yeah.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday, our monthly visit with our health contributor, Dr. Victoria Mazes, plus Tucson writer and attorney David Hardy. Mr. Hardy talks about his new book, which is a shocking expose of the extent and consequences of our government's lack of accountability. Buckmaster, noon to one on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030, KVOI. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. There is still time to get over to Green Things to do all of your holiday decorating. Some people do wait kind of the week before Christmas to kind of get the house all ready for the Christmas holiday. Around Thanksgiving, Jan and Jack, the owners at Green Things, they grow these poinsettias all year round, right? They started to bloom the way they should, perfect timing. They had about 25,000 of these gorgeous plants. They've still got some, so this would be a great time to go over and check it out. And by the way, it's not just the traditional red. They got amazing colors over there. Green Things is at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. And we may have to cover, in fact, we will be covering some of the plants Thursday night because we're expecting a pretty cold night, 27, 28 in some parts of the area. David Safir is here, and I don't think David will have to worry about covering his plants because he's not really that much into gardening, are you, David?
I am into having stuff that's beautiful around the house that lives on its own.
So there you go.
I trim things more than I water and tend and add to things.
But if you did, I'm sure you would be going over to Green Things.
I have been there. It's just quite a nice place.
It is a nice place. David Safir writes primarily about education. He does tackle a few other things occasionally doing his columns on the section of TucsonWeekly.com. It's referred to as The Range, and appropriately enough, The Range covers everything from A to Z, and David is very good at making sure his posts go up. I don't know, you probably post every couple of days, wouldn't you say?
I generally get about 3 posts up a week.
Yeah,
generally.
I mean,
it's a lot of stuff.
It is.
The nice thing when you blog, you write in a different format. Mm-hmm. You know, as an English teacher, I know the old essay form,
yes.
And as a blogger, you're more of a talking to the guy over the fence, you know, in your backyards, than someone who's putting together something that's polished. So you put things out there, and the next day you put something else out there that's related to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has more of a flow
and
than the standard piece.
And it starts a conversation because you get a lot of response to your columns. And it's not always glowing positive stuff. I mean, folks take you to task. They'll take you to the woodshed.
Yeah, all the way to the woodshed and inside of it with something in their hand trying to find me.
I get
a lot of very, very, very negative stuff, which is fine. That's part of the conversation. I have steeled myself to that, even though I don't much like criticism. When it's genuine criticism, I listen. When it's just people kind of throwing things around, you just got to shrug your shoulders and say, next, not pay too much attention
to it. It makes for a lively conversation. If folks hear something during the next few minutes that they don't agree with David on, love to hear from you, 790-2040. We were talking with Dr. Trujillo. It was my lead item with the superintendent at Tucson Unified, David, and I think you were able to catch most of the interview out in our green room. This is a serious problem. We've talked about it with you before about the Arizona teaching shortages, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better.
No, that's true. And Dr. Trujillo did a very nice job of talking about it from the local superintendent's level, which is trying to figure out ways to get more qualified, credentialed teachers into his classroom. And I, as a classroom teacher, I see things from inside the classroom and know what it is that makes people want to teach. And there's some very, very simple questions. You have to ask the question, why are our classrooms emptying out?
Right.
And one of the answers has got to be people don't want to come there. So you ask, why don't they want to come there? And then you do some basic economics 101. I'm not an economist, but I know I'm going to make a comparison to fast food. I'm not saying that teachers are the equivalent of fast food workers, but we've got a lot of fast food outlets in the city, the McDonald's and the Burger Kings and the Taco Bells. And if fast food businesses are 30% down in the number of employees they have, they cannot staff every single shift at the fast food restaurant, and they're going without the cooks or they're going without the people at the counter, well, they've got to do something about it. Mm-hmm. And you say, so what's wrong? Maybe the salary is too low. So you boost the salary and lower the old
more people behind the counter.
Maybe the work is too stressful because they're asking for the quotas are too high, the amount you must do. Well, you have to lower that a bit. In other words, if the supply of something is too low in terms of workers, you have to do something to attract them. Mm-hmm. In this state, we have dreadfully low salaries, somewhere near the bottom, like the bottom third or fourth or fifth in the country. And we have working conditions very much like across the country, which are more stressful now than they were when I left the schooling in 2003. Significantly more. These tests have put a phenomenal burden on teachers. Teachers are no longer given the respect they used to be given. And anybody knows how much positive reinforcement matters. If they're not getting positive reinforcement, they say, why am I working this hard? You know, you were talking about teachers who left in the first couple days.
Yeah.
The first year of teaching is like the first year of having your first baby. There's no way you can be prepared for it. It's just, it's a shock to the system. Here you are an adult. Here are 30 either kids or teenagers in the class.
Right.
You should be able to deal with them. And then you say, oh my gosh, this is going and that's going and this kid's giving me trouble while I have to teach that kid. And it's a shock to the system. If you don't have enough support and you don't have enough incentive keeping you there, it's not surprising that people leave. And if they come in unprepared because they haven't been certified, and certification isn't a matter of a stamp on a piece of paper, it's a matter of a number of courses and usually some student teaching, you don't know what you're expecting. And it's no wonder that at least one third or more of the teachers bail out in the first couple of years.
So I follow where you're going with this. You started about the business analogy. So if we were going to run our schools like a business, the owner of these fast food places, like you were saying, staffing could, if it's down 30%, they're not going to let it go on like that because it's going to cost them money. They would bring the whatever it takes to fully staff their restaurant.
That's right. And if Dr. Trujillo had enough money to pay his teachers more, God knows he'd be paying his teachers more. And right now, people are talking about this a lot. This is, if you haven't been paying attention, this is a preview for the 2018 election, where a lot is going to be talking about the funding of education. Our funding for education is very low in terms of the country. It's even low in terms of Arizona, because it's down below 2008 levels. And our governor, Governor Ducey, likes to call himself the education president. Excuse me. And he throws little bits and pieces, a program here and a little bit more money here and a boost there. But in terms of overall, we're spending less than we were in 2008. And here's something that is interesting. Mm-hmm. And I just found this morning when I was researching it. There's discussion of raising teacher salaries by 10%. Diane Douglas, who's the superintendent of public instruction, said that. So do business leaders. So 10% raise. People usually don't get 10% raise over a year. That seems significant. And then I looked back and saw that right now, adjusted for inflation, compared to 2001, our teachers are making 14% less salary now than they were then. 10% will bring teachers within 4% below where it was in 2001, adjusted for inflation. That's how bad things have gotten. How in the world can you expect teachers who are professionals with all that education, with all that responsibility, with all those children in front of them, with the future of the state and the country in their hands educationally, how can you expect them to be given wages that puts them on food stamps where they can't afford to pay for things for their kids as you would expect people to do it, where they're barely hanging on in the middle class?
And Diane Douglas did acknowledge, yes, it is low salaries. That's half of the problem, but she says the other half is bureaucratic hassles ranging from paperwork to overly restrictive rules on how teachers are supposed to give lessons.
Well, I would partially agree with her.
Is that like teaching to tests and things like that?
The place I won't agree with her is she's very conservative, very right-wing, and I'm farther to the left, obviously. I'm more progressive. And people like to be anti-regulation when they are on the right side. They say that regulations are crippling things. So she's making that point. And there's always going to be a lot of bureaucracy. There's always going to be a lot of paperwork. It's always going to be bothersome and onerous for anybody who wants to fill out all those papers, but some of it is vital and necessary. To the extent that she's talking about the new Common Core standards or the standards as they've been changed in Arizona or any of those things, those have become more onerous. And one thing they've done is they've deadened the joy of teaching. When you have to teach things exactly a certain way, you went into teaching because you wanted to be creative. You wanted to make your classroom your own. If you have to spend all kinds of time from day one to day 130 worrying about the tests and giving kids pretests, where is the, and there's got to be joy in teaching. You've got to transmit it to your students. I love teaching.
So the creative end is really taking the back seat, isn't it?
Yeah. I would come in and say, how did I not fulfill what I was supposed to fulfill yesterday? How can I make up for that today? What can I change next year to make it better? If you're bound, you know, shackled into certain tests and certain standards and don't have enough room to move, not only is it more difficult and more stressful, but it takes some of the joy out of what you're doing. You know, going back to fast foods, if everybody in fast food had a ball and chain around their ankle to make sure they didn't move from their station, that alone would drive people out of the, not profession, out of being employed there. Well, teachers, in a sense, have a ball and chain around their ankles. And even if salary were better, this would be a significant concern for professionals.
All right, we'll take our break right here. 790-2040, if there's something that David said agrees with you or you disagree, love to hear from you. We'll take our break right here on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be back talking some more as we're dedicating our whole hour today to education. Be right back.
Ah! Hey, it's Mark Irvin hanging out here with my pal, Ali Farhang. Ali, got one question for you. What time is it?
Woo! It's game time, Arizona. On December 29th at 3:30 p.m., it's the Utah State Aggies versus the New Mexico State Aggies.
Ali, I understand these teams don't even like each other.
It's been 57 years of bad blood, and we're going to settle it on December 29th at Arizona Stadium.
So, New Year's Eve's coming early to the old Pueblo.
Mark, on December 28th in downtown Tucson, we're going to have the University of Arizona Downtown Block Party presented by Rio Nuevo. And on the 29th, before the game, there's going to be the Desert Diamond Tailgate Festival with neon trees. After the game, it gets even better. You go right back downtown where Flock of Seagulls will be performing at the postgame party.
So where do people get more information?
Go to NovaArizonaBowl.com.
So all the net proceeds of this game go to charities. Isn't that cool?
Cool. It's awesome. And special thanks to our friends at Arizona Party Rental.
Thanks a lot, Ali and Mark. We'll see everyone at the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl. This is Ken Flower, an Arizona Party Rental production.
Food for the hungry, help for struggling families, and support for the aging. Every day, Interfaith Community Services helps people in need achieve stable, healthy, and independent lives. Hi, I'm Daniel Stalsfus, CEO at ICS. You can help and get a dollar-for-dollar tax credit when you donate to ICS with the Arizona Charitable Tax Credit. Reduce your state taxes up to $800 for a couple or $400 for singles. To donate, go to ICSTucson.org or call 297-6049. Your help will bring hope and change lives.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your BBB, here to share two of our 12 tips to a fun and safe holiday season. First tip, you might notice ads personalized to you called interest-based advertising. If you want to opt out, download the App Choices app. Second tip, make sure your device is backed up in case you are attacked by hackers. Don't lose all your data and memories. To read all of our BBB holiday tips, visit bbb.org/holiday helper. Happy holidays from the entire team at Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
We'll be right back.
much to talk about, so little time. I will mention before we go on, by the way, this whole hour being dedicated to education, thank you to one of our fine sponsors, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Makes a great weekend getaway, or longer. There's nothing that says you have to stay just for Saturday and Sunday. Spend a week over there. Southwestnewmexico.org is the website to go to for all the great places to stay and the many recreation activities. Only a three-hour drive. Check out Silver City. David Safir is here. We're talking about education. David writes about education for the Tucson Weekly. And why don't we go to Mike, who's been waiting very patiently. Mike, go ahead. You're with David.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Very good. Well. Thanks for calling.
I appreciate the time. Listen, I've been listening to you about how we're the lowest paid teachers, and there are some great teachers in this town. But the biggest problem is we need to fix this system instead of just keep throwing money after good money. Let me give you an example real quick. If you're on a wrestling team and you win a state championship, you want your team to do good, but you're happy if you win a state meet, and not everybody should wrestle. So here you got kids that are going to school to do what? They're not going to go to college. So we don't have auto, we don't have shop, we don't have welding schools anymore. And it's a hindrance for the kids who are going to go to college. They have to split them and make a trade school and make a school to prepare them for college. Does that make sense? Because I was a little nervous when I was getting ahead of myself there.
No, I think we're following
Mike,
you, Mike.
That does make sense, and there are models that allow for more tech education or more education in areas like car repair and things of that nature that are good. Dr. Trujillo talked about getting more of that going on. We have the JTED centers, and I don't remember what that stands for exactly, but it's places where kids can go for technical education. Mm-hmm. And that's all good. A problem that happened with that kind of split is the split became an early kind of a segregation where the poor kids and or the minority kids would be said, well, you're not that good. You're going to have to go into career tracks. And so they wouldn't get the chance to go to college, while kids who are upper level in terms of economics would always get that chance. And so it became a way to limit students. It's got to be done carefully. But you're right. Students should get as much training as possible in schools. And they do. There's nurse-type training, lab technical training at schools.
It's available for those that want it. And quickly, before we leave the teacher and the pay subject, there was also another caller who did not have time to stay with us on the air, and that was basically a caller didn't want to go on the air, but the teacher, but as a teacher, she says a part of the problem, David Safir, is behavior of the kids and the inability of administration to address it.
Well, this is always a problem. Every teacher is driven nuts by the misbehaving kids, or if there are a bunch of students who are that way. It is a problem, and I think I've been out of the classroom long enough, I can't say. I think the problem is accelerating, and I know right now that there's a push at TUSD and around the country to make punishments, to make behavior kind of modification a little bit less racist. Often black and brown kids are punished more with suspensions and expulsions. They're looked at more quickly. They're dealt with differently. And there's an attempt to get more equity. When that happens, you also have problems with some misbehavior not being taken care of as quickly. I have to say that when I was in the classroom, I always took care of my own behavior problems because that's the way I did things, and sometimes it drove me nuts. But I heard many of my colleagues in a school with not a lot of behavior problems saying the principal just doesn't support us enough. So this is a universal, constant problem, and it's constantly a battle to try to figure out the best way to deal with students' needs. After all, a student who's misbehaving, we want that person back in the classroom and working hard, but on the other hand, they're the needs of the other students. It will always be with us as a problem, and it's something that TUSD is trying to balance now.
And I see that TUSD has decided they will end those classes that had tied to the so-called Koch Brothers Network, those classes at Tucson, Rincon, Pueblo, and Cholla High. You had written about the Koch Brothers in these particular classes, and I wish we had more time for this, but you kind of started the ball rolling on this.
Yeah, I can just mention this basically. There mm-hmm. were classes which are dual enrollment classes with the University of Arizona, and the title of the class is Philosophy 101, Ethics, Economy, and Entrepreneurship. And these courses were started by a center at the University of Arizona, which is funded in part by Charles and David Koch, who are known as the Koch brothers. They're some of the richest men in the world, multi-billionaires, who have put money into this. And I felt that the courses weren't introduced correctly, and I felt that they weren't courses that should be offered that had such a strong bias that was being pushed in them. So I wrote about it at the Tucson Weekly, and to be honest, the school board members did not even know that the courses existed because they weren't ratified by the school board. So we don't have time to go into the details. I'd like to.
Yeah, we can pick it up next month.
But basically, the school board decided, we'll let the class run to the end of the year. This is the second year it's happening. We'll give the kids the credits they should get, but we disapprove of the way this is done, and the course will not continue next year unless we decide to approve it. So they put the brakes on, and I'm pleased to have been part of the process of bringing this to light.
All right, David, we will look for your work, and we want to thank you very much for your support. You're one of two dozen regular contributors to our program. We've got a great group of people who appear on the program at least once a month, and David, you're one of them, and we thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Your work can be seen at TucsonWeekly.com under the Range column. And anything coming up, or are you going to take a holiday break?
Well, I'm not quite taking a break. I'm actually going to be looking at the Trump presidency kind of a year after, based on what I wrote a few days after the election. So okay. That's one of my non-election
posts. Revisit that,
posts.
Right? All right. Coming up this afternoon, mic check with Mike Shaw. And then tomorrow morning, wake up Tucson, 6 to 9. Then me, Bill Buckmaster. Back with you tomorrow. We're going to be talking with Dr. Victoria Mays, as our health contributor. You got a bad back? You'll want to listen tomorrow at noon. We've got some great tips for you. Have a great afternoon and evening. On behalf of Bob Dio, thanks, Bob. Have a great one.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.